Thank you. I've just got a brief second, I've been told, just to say to people that the Catching the Wave prayer guides that had run out a couple of weeks ago, I've got another supply on the table just as you come in the door, so help yourself.
Very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tee Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. On behalf of our parish and our congregation, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. Can I also welcome our brothers and sisters who are worshiping via Zoom? But can I ask, where are all the people who were here last week? Let us enjoy our fellowship together as God's children, and after this, if you have time, please stay back and fellowship with us in teas and coffees and sweets and other niceties of life. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Let us worship God in our first hymn, 132, Immortal, Invisible, God, Only Wise.
Glorious, please.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we want to thank you for the gift of faith and for the opportunity to trust in you and your promises. We know that faith is a precious gift from you, and we are grateful for the ways in which it has transformed our lives. We also want to thank you for the struggle of doubt, which can lead us to a deeper understanding of your ways and purposes. We know that doubt can be difficult and painful, but we also know that it can lead us to a stronger and more authentic faith. We approach you in humility and faith, knowing that you are the source of all truth and wisdom. We pray that you help us to grow in our faith and that you guide us as we navigate the challenges of doubt. We thank you for the many examples of faith and doubt that we find in the Gospel of John. We thank you for the faith of Mary, who believed in Jesus' resurrection even before she saw him. We also thank you for the doubt of Thomas, who needed to see Jesus' wounds before he believed. As we come before you in worship, O Father, we ask that you help us to have faith like Mary and to trust in your promises even when we cannot see the evidence. We also ask that you help us to overcome our doubts like Thomas and to seek the truth with an open heart and mind. We thank you for your grace which covers us even in our doubts and struggles. We pray that you help us to extend this grace to others who may be struggling with doubts or uncertainties. Lord, we are grateful for your love and faithfulness, and we thank you for the ways in which you have transformed our lives through faith. We ask that you continue to guide us and strengthen us so that we may live lives that honor and glorify you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next theme is 426. All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord.
Thank you.
Good morning, children. Do we have any children in church today? We have, at least we have two. How are you this morning?
Good.
Good. Very good. Yesterday was very bright. Did you enjoy that sunshine?
Yes.
It was quite hot. And I was just wondering, should we go back to winter? No. Summer or spring is better. This morning I want to talk about trust and doubts. Have you ever heard about doubting Thomas? Is there any Thomas in church this morning? Have you ever heard about the phrase doubting Thomas? No. What do you know? What do you think about doubts? Do you know anything about doubts? When you are not so sure about something, it means you are doubting that thing. Let me give you a few examples. What if I told you that I've been to Mount Everest, that I've climbed that mountain? Will you believe me?
I don't.
You will not believe me. Why not? Do you know about Mount Everest? That's the highest mountain.
And also, if you went to the top, you would die because there's not much air.
I would have died because there's not so much.
And also, it's very cold at the top.
Very cold at the top. Well, okay. Sounds brilliant ideas. So you definitely not believe me if I said I had been to Mount Everest. What if I told you that 2 weeks ago, Jesus Christ walked into this church? Would you believe me? You would not believe me. Where is Jesus? In heaven. So you would not believe me either that Jesus walked in here. So many times we always doubt things. We have issues of trust, trusting people. Sometimes when they tell us something, we don't believe what's happening, or we don't believe their word. Now, this is something that happened in our New Testament text today with Thomas. Last week was Easter. We celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came back to life from the dead. And after that, he appeared to his disciples. But when he appeared to them, Thomas was not there. So when they told him that Jesus, they had seen Jesus, he said he could not believe. And of course, he was right because they knew that Jesus had died, he was buried, and, you know, he had resurrected. But they didn't think that he could come to them again in body and soul. And so Thomas demanded that he wanted an evidence, that he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to put his finger where the nails had been put when he was nailed to the cross to be sure that that was Jesus. And we are told that Jesus actually appeared to him and he put his finger there. Now, because Thomas saw, he believed. So why are we believing in Jesus Christ? Any answers to that? Because we have not seen. Have you seen Jesus before? Have any of you seen Jesus before? Congregation, have you seen Jesus before? You haven't. None of us have seen Jesus physically. So why do you think we are believing in Jesus Christ? Difficult question? Yeah, I think so. Why do we believe in Jesus? Why do we come to church? Yes, you want to try? To worship him, yes. We come to worship him. So why do we worship him? Okay, I'll give you the answer. It is because we read about him in the Bible. And the things that are said about him in the Bible by the apostles are the people who were with him. They walked with him, they lived with him, they knew him, and they saw some of the things or the things that happened to Jesus. And so we believe in that testimony. So it is the Bible which gives us the evidence about Jesus Christ and the things that he did for all of us. But there is one other thing which we learn from the story of Thomas. On that day Jesus came, Thomas was absent. And because he was absent, he did not receive the blessing
which the reason Jesus brought to the disciples, those first blessings after the resurrection. What that means to us is that we should not be absent from church, because Jesus may come when we are not there. How will you feel if you hear that Jesus came to church on a Sunday, you were not here? Yes, Michaela? You feel sad. And I don't want anybody to feel sad, because we are told in the Bible that Jesus can come at any time. Jesus will come at any time. So it is important for us to come to church every Sunday without miss or without fail, because the day we don't come may be the day Jesus comes to us. So let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again for your word to us, and especially to our young children. And we know that even though they are young, you speak to them. Continue, O Father, to build their faith through your word. Take away every doubt and fear from their hearts and minds and lives. And may they be encouraged, O Father, to commit themselves to worship you every Sunday and to serve you without fear. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, Come Children, Join and Sing.
Praise to Christ our King. Hallelujah. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Our first reading is from the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3, from verses 14 to 20. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say, Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows for the appointed feasts I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time I will deal with all who oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Our New Testament reading is from the end of the book of John, commencing chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
Sing him 445, hallelujah, sing to Jesus. At last, we've managed to finish singing that one. Very long hymn. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning as we speak and listen to your word. And as we reflect about faith and doubt, we pray that you would strengthen our faith and help us to overcome our doubts. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers, in today's reading from the Gospel of John, we hear the story of Thomas, also known as Doubting Thomas. When Jesus Christ appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, Thomas was not present. And the Apostle John does not tell us why he was absent. Maybe he overslept and was able to get out of bed that morning. Or maybe he was ill. Or maybe he went partying and the next day he was too tired to get out and to go to meet the other disciples. We are not told about that. But what we know is that on that crucial day when Jesus made his first appearance to his disciples, Thomas was absent. And when the others told him that they had seen the Lord, Thomas expressed his disbelief. "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Jesus Christ did not condemn Thomas for his doubts. Instead, he appeared to him and invited him to touch his wounds. Thomas then made a great confession of faith, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus Christ responded, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are you who have not seen and yet have believed. This story has a lot to teach us about faith and doubt. Doubt is a natural part of the human experience, and it is not something to be ashamed of. We all have moments when we struggle to believe, when we question the reality of God and his love for us. But it is important that we do not let our doubts consume us. We must not let our doubts become an excuse for us to turn away from God and God's truth. The risen Savior invites us to bring our doubts to him, just as he invited Thomas to touch his wounds. He is not afraid of our questions or our uncertainties. In fact, he welcomes them because he knows that it is through our doubts that our faith can grow stronger. But we must be open to the possibility that our doubts may be resolved in ways that we do not expect. Thomas wanted to see the nail marks in Jesus' hands and put his finger where the nails were. But when he actually saw Jesus and touched his wounds, he made a confession of faith that went beyond anything he could have imagined. He recognized Jesus not only as his teacher and friend, but also as his Lord and his God. We too must be open to the possibility that God may reveal himself to us in ways that we do not expect. We may want a sign or a miraculous experience. But God may choose to reveal himself to us in the ordinary moments of our lives, through a kind word from a stranger, a beautiful sunset, or a moment of deep peace in prayer. And when we experience moments of doubt, we must not let them isolate us from our community of faith. Thomas was not present when Jesus first appeared to the disciples, And this isolation may have contributed to his doubts. But when he returned to the community and shared his doubts, he was able to encounter the risen Christ. We too need the support and encouragement of our fellow brothers and sisters. We need to be part of a community where we can share our doubts and our struggles, and where we can be reminded of the truth of God's love and grace. As the writer to the Hebrews reminds us, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Spasmodic church attendance is not so good. This is one of the lessons we learn. When we come to church this week and not the other week, we may miss the blessing from God. But we must not forget the words that Jesus spoke to Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And these words apply to us as well. We have not seen Jesus. We have not seen him in the flesh, but we believe in him. We believe in his death and resurrection, and we trust in his promises of forgiveness, eternal life, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let us hold fast to this faith, even in the face of doubt and uncertainty. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word to us. We ask that you help us to understand the role of doubt in our faith journey. Give us courage to ask difficult questions and to seek answers that challenge our assumptions and beliefs. We pray that our doubts would not lead us away from you, but rather draw us closer to you as we wrestle with our faith. At the same time, we also pray for an unwavering faith that can withstand the doubts and uncertainties that we may face. Help us to trust in your promises and to hold fast to the truth of your word, even when we don't understand it fully. May our faith be a source of strength, comfort, and hope in times of uncertainty and doubt. Amen. Our next hymn, How Often We Like Thomas. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with grateful hearts for all that you have blessed us with. We recognize that everything we have comes from you and that we are merely stewards of your abundant provision. We offer our tithes and offerings as an act of worship and gratitude, and we ask that you would bless these gifts for the work of your kingdom. We pray for those whom we trust will be fed by your goodness, who will be nourished by your presence. We pray for all people around the world in fear of such violence, acts of war and destruction committed in the midst of peaceful civilian lives. We think again about the problems in Ukraine, in the Middle East, in Israel and Palestine, where terror has a grip, where violence dominates. Lord, bring justice, bring peace. We pray for those who know the harshness of natural disaster, where lives are lost in unpredictable catastrophe, where floods ruin crops, where there will be no bountiful harvest this year. We pray for generosity and provision for all your people. We pray for those who are of poor health. We think especially of members of our congregation. And we use your daughter, sister, and friend, Haiti, as a contact point for many others who are unwell at this time. We pray for those known to us where poor health prevents full living, where pain is a daily reality, where frailty causes bodies to falter. Lord, give healing, give comfort, give perseverance. We pray for those who mourn lives that have been lost. And we think again of our sister Luna, who lost their sister. We use her as a contact point for all those who are mourning loved ones, that you, O Father, will bring them comfort. We pray for long lives well lived which have come to an end, and lives which had still much promise and feel to us to have ended far, far too soon. We trust each life to you, saving God, and we trust that each soul finds its home in your eternal love. But for those who mourn, who know any loss, give comfort, give assurance, give your gentle presence in the lives of us still living. We pray for all those growing, for young people who so often are at the heart of a story of faith that we can overlook. We trust them to your nurturing, and we pray that all those involved in the lives of young people and children will empower them to flourish today and tomorrow. We lift all of these things to you now, offering the prayers of our own hearts, trusting them to you now in a moment of quietness. In all our prayers, we pray trusting in your sure and certain promise, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. If you are able, please stand. Let us together affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. A final hymn is 416, Christ is alive, let Christians sing. Please be seated. We still have about 5 minutes to go. And Nancy Pong wants to share a testimony with us, so I'll give her 1 minute to do
okay.
That.
Just thinking about faith and doubt, and just recently we had Stanley Brooks' sister Maggie here. I don't know how many of you managed to go to her talk about what happened to her in the serious accident that some of us know about that happened in Israel. And we know that, well, we nearly lost our minister and we nearly lost Maggie. And in fact, Maggie died and was returned to life. And she gives her testimony for that. Now, when I heard that test, I didn't hear the testimony actually, I heard bits of it. And when Stan first came home, I did a card for him. And I was given a verse. A verse, and it's Psalm 34, verse 7. And it was about, for those who believe in the Lord, the angels will draw around them and keep them safe. So that passed, that time passed. And I have to say, being married to an anaesthetist, I was a little bit doubtful about what I was hearing about Maggie's testimony, and the supper of the Lord was laid before her and things. And I was really doubting. And then my neighbour said to me, I've got that disc. Would you like to come and listen to it with me? And I said, okay, I'll come and listen to it with you. The disc that Maggie made. Maybe some of you have it. And when I listened to it, one of the verses she quoted was from Psalm 34, verse 7. And I nearly fell off the couch. And I thought, oh Lord, why did I doubt? Why did I doubt? Blaming, thinking that she'd been able to, you know, that she had hallucination with the drug she was on, etc. But it's no hallucination. And it showed me my great doubt. And then It's a God-given faith. God renewed my faith again that day. Thanks very much, James.
Thank you, Nancy. Please, can you stand for the benediction? Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.